If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, here is something that affects you directly because it is happening in the city of Johannesburg. The coalition government has adjusted its budget, as you know, from 83 billion to 76 billion. We've had this conversation before, but there has been a decision that council approved. What I would say is outrageous. You know, the number of bodyguards and security that some council members are going to have. DA Johannesburg caucus leader Belinda Kaiser Ekojonjoku is on the line with us just to help us understand what exactly is going on here. Thank you very much for making time for us, Councillor. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela, and good evening to the listeners.
I mean, your understanding of why it's necessary for some of these council members to increase their security when, as I've just said, you know, the budget has decreased. So where's this money going to come from?
Camilla, one of the reasons why we had rejected this in the council chambers and even at the Section 79 is precisely the concerns that you've raised through your introduction, that the budget has been cut, which is mainly service delivery related budget, from 83 billion to 76 billion. And the city had in their report had said that there is no financial implications. Now, if you look at the contingent that has been increased, it's impossible that there would be no financial implications. And also, we felt that it's misleading to come to council and say that there's no financial implications, and also considering that services are collapsing in the city of Johannesburg. So those are some of the issues that we have raised inside the council chambers with regards to this.
The city has borrowed 2.2 billion rand from the Development Bank. And that also is a concern, because with this kind of a loan and a shrinking budget, first of all, I want to understand, you know, the rationale behind that. As you are saying, it was misleading to say there will be no financial implications, which we believe there will be. But secondly, what's the threat? Who's afraid of who?
Look, Pamela, the only explanation that we can think of, which we've asked, is that obviously because of the dwindling service delivery that's happening, the collapse of service delivery, and also they mentioned the fact that there was a shooting in the Chief Whip's ward, Councillor Zungu, where the Rand Water official was shot. But our big issue with this is that the upper limits that is gazetted, Section 15, one of the tools of trade for public office bearers, give provision for VIP protection, and it's very clear about who gets VIP protection. It also gives guidance as to how many protectors and vehicles. They've gone way above the allowable contingent for this. And for us, it's a matter of just looking for blue lights and hiding away from the very same people who elected you at their expense. And for us as the DA, that's completely unacceptable. Just by the way, Pamela, we are aware that the MEC of COPTA had written to the speaker in January, which they have not revealed to the public. But we know, we've seen the letter that they have, the MEC has written to the Speaker of Council to question the increase in the contingent already as early as January 2024. So those are cautioning them that they are in violation of the upper limits, the gazetted upper limits for public office bearers. And we know that there is a flurry of trying to now get people vetted and to try and comply after the effect, when they have already violated the upper limits.
I must say, I'm not sure, and maybe I don't know how you feel about this. I'm not sure I want to entirely blame the residents for their dissatisfaction for the security concerns, because I think the residents have actually been very decent in restraining themselves, even though they're frustrated. And therefore, I want to put it to you that what are your thoughts around the fact that actually primarily these are corruption threats? Because when you look at who else they've decided to allocate this for, to, is bodyguards to committee chairpersons. Now, nobody here in Johannesburg as a resident know really who a committee chairperson is, and I wouldn't therefore want to do any harm to that person unless I've got vested interest, maybe business interest.
100%, Pamela. I would stop short of saying that, obviously, but I would say that, as remember, councillors are also residents. And as a resident, and also as the leader of the official opposition in Johannesburg representing residents, we are livid with this, because people pay their taxes. The city is just the city has just announced that they are increasing proposed draft tariffs that they're going on public participation, that they're proposing to increase. Now you have increased tariffs. You've reduced the budget for service delivery, but you increase tariffs. What are you actually increasing tariffs for when there's no service delivery that is happening? And yet you are increasing, bodyguards, which is not service delivery related. Those are some of the issues. What you're raising is very, very crucial, because chairpersons can be covered by the existing councillor protection policy, which is a separate policy from the VIP policy that is for the executive. But the other issue is that they're not mentioning even that there is an existing councillor protection policy that covers even a councillor like me, who's a ward councillor, and chairpersons. That is completely different from the executive. Why does it need for people that are chairpersons of committees to have VIP protection that comes with the excess vehicles that it comes with? And on top of that, unless, of course, you possibly have interest, or there is a fight for blue lights about the between the different political parties, where you possibly see some have become MMCs and some are chairpersons, and it's about egos. It's a fight for blue lights. What is concerning that this is going to result in irregular expenditure, which has probably already started, because we know that there was an election last year, and we saw some chairpersons have vehicles, and nobody can give us assurance that the vetting and the security assessment, the threat analysis, had been done prior to those protection being issued, which is what the process should be done if there is a threat. And none of them could put in that report. It doesn't say anywhere that a threat analysis had been done, and these are the reasons why. It's just changing the policy instead of complying with the upper limits, and then sharing with the MEC that, look, we've taken back the extra bodyguards, and these are the threats, and this is the reasons why. But they didn't want to comply, and instead they're basically telling the residents, we don't care about your service delivery. We rather want to run away from you and hide behind blue lights. And that is exactly what the DA is completely against. And we actually weighing in our options of what we can do.
All right. DA Johannesburg caucus leader Belinda Keza Ekozonjoku. Listen, guys, I mean, I just want to give you a high level, because I won't go through all of them. But Mayor Kwamanda, and let's just remember, three-seat Al-Jamar party in this council has 10 bodyguards, and 8 cars. Eight cars allocated to him. The speaker from a party that only has 2 seats will have 8 bodyguards and a convoy of 5 cars allocated to her. Guys, I mean, are you threatening the speaker and the mayor? Who here listening to this show wants to kill the mayor and the speaker?
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.